Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Federal Trade Commission voted 3-2 along party lines to ban non-compete agreements for most employees, allowing workers to switch jobs or start their own businesses more easily. A Baltimore-area gym teacher has been arrested for using AI to make a deepfake recording of his principal making racist and anti-Semitic comments. Gunshot detection system ShotSpotter keeps collecting data and notifying police after its contracts with cities have ended. And the bill that could impose a TikTok ban if its parent company ByteDance doesn't divest its U.S. interest is about to be signed into law. We've got all this and more for you in episode 128 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly, it's your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. too distracted by watching cats with GoPros terrorize neighborhoods. I don't know if y'all seen these videos, but
I have.
One cat, they got a GoPro on it, and he is just like a bully in the neighborhood. He chases all the cats, or he or she, you know, let me not discriminate, just run around the neighborhood, and it's like you... I'm invested in this cat chase. This cat is crazy, but just sitting there watching dumb stuff like that on TikTok got me distracted today.
It never ceases to amaze me the things that people say. You know what? Let me strap this GoPro to this cat and just film it running around the neighborhood terrorizing other cats.
It wouldn't be
and get tens of millions of views while we do it.
It wouldn't be exciting if it was a cat just roaming around the neighborhood. The fact that this cat like terrorizes the other cats.
Oh no, this is straight up Debo. People have nicknamed the cat Debo. So,
and it's the commentary. Like you're watching a saga unfold like in front of you. That cat gets around.
It's really good. Content though, it is compelling. So clearly somebody is getting a 15 minutes. It is working for them. But y'all, we got a lot of tech to get to this week. There's been a lot of ongoings in the tech world over the last 7 days. So we can go ahead and jump right into it. And this first one, it really isn't a tech story, but it's tech adjacent. And this is one that it's been the bane of a lot of people, particularly in tech's existence for a long time. As the FCT has voted to ban non-compete agreements in almost most every cases. There's still some cases where they're still enforceable. But the problem has been for a lot of folks. There's been a lot of people who didn't start businesses because they signed this non-compete and they're significantly concerned about getting sued by their former employer if they decide to go out and strike it on their own. So they have to run in side hustle mode for 6 months or a year, 18 months or whatever these contracts go before they can really go out and do things in a big way, in an official way, because they have these non-competes that up until this ruling have been very enforceable. And I believe that this rule will go into place in August. So you can't be out there yet. You got to wait a little bit.
So break down, you alluded to it. Break down what a non-compete is. Can you give us like a definition of what that is and how would that apply to people in general?
So a lot of companies, what they will do is when they are hiring you, if they offer you a position before you are a team member of that new organization, they make you sign a bunch of documents and paperwork. And many times one of those pieces of paperwork has been a non-compete agreement. And you know, just to, you know, break it down, you know, simply what these non-compete agreements usually do is they prevent you from getting let go and going and working for competition, quitting on your own and going and working for competition. For in some cases, I've seen them go 2 years or more. Usually they are for 365 days, but you couldn't be working at company X, go to company Y that does something similar to company X and do that job according to these non-compete agreements. And it is, they have absolutely kept people in roles that they didn't want to be in anymore just because they were concerned about, can I actually go out and find another job where my new employer won't be on the hook for what my old employer's agreement that they made me sign.
It's huge in the media. Like, you know, you can't go nowhere. If you're under contract at a station or a network, it's 6 months minimum before you can go and get another job somewhere else. It's crazy.
So why did non-competes come up in the first place? What made them a thing? Is there a history on that? Or is that just companies being greedy or not greedy or being selfish? Or were they generally concerned about employers taking knowledge, taking information, taking possible patents, taking possible IP, going to a quote unquote competitor, and then they launch a similar product? Is that a legit thing, or are we?
That's what they'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they tell you. But here's the thing. If you take IP from one company to another company, you don't need a non-compete to go after the person that did the taking and the company that's the beneficiary of the taking. That is, you basically stolen our corporate secrets and are using it for your own gain. That has nothing to do with the non-compete. What has been happening is that you would see companies like McDonald's or Burger, you know, let me be very specific. You would see companies like fast food restaurants that, let's say you work for Burger Company A, and you leave or you get fired from Burger Company A. Well, for a year, you can't go work for another burger company or another fast food company that they consider to be in the same category. So what it does is, in a lot of ways, it just limited an employee's opportunity to potentially go and find other employment. Now, at that level, a lot of people, they just simply just didn't care. It's like, I'm going to sign whatever I need to sign to get this job. And if you want to sue me because I'm at this other job, probably making minimum wage or just a little bit above it, you go right on ahead and do that. And the companies just weren't doing it. It was just a tactic that they could probably keep people from jumping ship from going to from one place to another. One of the notes that I wanted to put in here is that this non-compete ban does not include no solicitation clauses. So just to be clear here, you can't be working at company A and say, oh, non-competes don't exist anymore. I can go to company B and I'm going to take all my clients that I had at company A to company B with me. These companies will still go after you for that. And if I'm honest, I really don't have a problem with them doing that. It's like, you know, if the company had a customer list and you were privy to that customer list and then you go to another company, you shouldn't potentially be able to just go and, you know, solicit the same customers for a period of time. If you sign that compete, I don't have as much of an issue with it as you can't go work for competition if I'm no longer working for you.
So, and I think it definitely largely just boils down to money. I mean, the onboarding process is very expensive. So if I'm bringing somebody in, I expect them to be there for a certain amount of time for me to get that ROI back. You know what I mean? Even if it is just fast food, onboarding costs money, you know, getting this person up to speed, training them, setting up HR, getting their benefits together, putting all that stuff together only for you to leave in 6 months because, you know, Wendy's is going to give you $2 an hour more to come work there. So I think it disincentivizes jumping, you know, job hopping for advancement for a lot of people. It definitely disincentivizes that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, there has to be a backstory to, one, why non-competes got so not biased, but are leaning more for the benefit of the company at such of a disadvantage to the employee, to where it's like, well, dang, I can't even not. I mean, I'm a specialist in, you know, making carpets, that's all I do. You know, that's what I went to school for. That's what my daddy and my grandparents did. We made carpets. So you mean to tell me I go work for, you know, Empire Floor, you know, doing carpets, and then I decide to quit? It's like, daggone, I can't even. You mean to tell me I gotta wait before I go to, you know,
Lumber Liquidators?
Yes,
right,
yes,
right.
That is, you know?
Right. But there's got to be. It can't be. It couldn't have been companies in their in the infancy of this thing saying, you know what, we just really hate Wendy's. So we're going to make our people sign an agreement that if you come work for McDonald's, you can't never work for Wendy's because we just don't like them.
Actually, you know what I'm saying? I don't think it was that. I think it was just a lot of it was just the cost.
It's got to be for upper level. This ain't like we were talking in general about Wendy's and McDonald's. I'm pretty sure McDonald's ain't making people sign agreements saying if you work for McDonald's and you quit 2 weeks later, you can't work for Wendy's. I'm assuming we're talking about million, you know,
benefits. No, don't make that assumption. We're talking about, and like I said, I want to be specific, so I won't say the name of a particular fast food restaurant, but you're working for fast food restaurant A. So let's just say you was there for 2-3 months, and fast food restaurant B is like, hey, we pay $4 more an hour. That is literally across the parking lot from restaurant A. The non-compete would say, well, you can't work there for 6 months for a year because you're competing with us. You know, we, as Steph said, we put the training into you, and now you're going to take that and go to our direct competitor and compete against us. Hence the name non-compete. And companies were doing it because probably, like I said, as Steph said, that, well, we don't want to lose out on that training. We want to be protected in every way that we possibly can. I tend to chalk it up to companies are companies, and they're going to make money efficiently and effectively as they can. And if we can have an employee sign an agreement that legally precludes them from going and working for competition, and that's beneficial to us, then why not make them do that? And this is why I don't really have a problem with the government doing this, because there are times to where, you know, it could be you were working for company A for, you know, for a matter of years, and you decided, you know, I've been here for 10, 11 years. I'm going to go strike it out on my own and do my own thing. But if you were working in the marketing department and you decide to go start a marketing firm, your old company could say, well, we compete against each other, so you cannot do this for a year, for 18 months or 2 years. And that's where I think the government is saying, no, that's not really right. You're really eliminating someone's ability to pursue their employment goals. And this does not keep you from, like I said, if a company has a client list and you are privy to the client list and you're like, you know, I'm about to quit in a minute. Let me go ahead and just copy.
Take my Rolodex with me.
Take this Rolodex with me and then go over and start my own firm and start calling these clients of the company you were just at. That is still not cool. And I don't have a problem with that not being cool. I understand that. But you should be able, in my opinion, to go work for whomever you want to go work for. And you should be able to start your own company if that's what you choose to do without having to worry about your previous company saying, well, you can't do it for a year because you signed this document.
One of the things, though, that struck me about the CNN article you posted was that, you know, nobody that was anti not putting this into effect, basically, because there are some people, the vote in the FTC was 3-2. So there were two FTC commissioners that voted against banning non-competes. And then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce put out a statement about why they were against this as well. And like nobody was saying that it was good for workers. That was the thing. The two commissioners that didn't vote for it, in the FTC opposed it because they basically believed that, it would, get locked up in litigation, which it probably will. Somebody's going to sue. It's going to get locked up in litigation. The U.S. Chamber claims it's a power grab and an overreach of administrative power of the FTC, but nobody actually disagrees that it's shitty for the workers. You know what I mean? So why wouldn't we want to do things that protect worker benefits and workers' ability to make a living for themselves? Like, what are y'all doing right now? It just goes back to big government you know, in bed with corporations and not caring a damn about the little person. It was crazy. Like nobody, like none of the justifications for why we shouldn't be doing this had anything to do with the fact that this actually benefits employees as opposed to companies. And it was just like, what are y'all doing? Like, yeah. What are y'all doing?
The 3-2 vote was absolutely along party lines. When you think of the Chamber of Commerce, to keep the politics out of it, they lean a particular direction that is not left. So I'm not shocked that the Chamber of Commerce would be against this. I'm not shocked that the two who voted against this are in one political party and the other two aren't. Everything we do, with the exception of TikTok, which we'll talk about in a second, seems to be very, very polarized and based upon party lines. But overall, I am not I don't have an issue with this, because here's another thing. I'm no longer in corporate America, but when I was, I got to a point to where, I'm not signing that. I'm good. I will keep doing what I'm doing and not work for, if you really want me, you're going to take this clause out. And I can tell you that the three times that I've actually said that, the clause is taken out. But I was towards the end of my corporate career, not the beginning of it. I was not in a situation to where I got to get this job because I got bills I got to pay. It's like, I would like to take this job because I think I could do some good, but I'm not willing to go sign this ridiculous non-compete. I also was not, there's a lot of times when I wouldn't sign NDAs, and it's like, you have anything that's a provisional patent? Nope. So do you actually have a patent? Nope. So you just want me to sign this NDA so you can run an idea by me, get my opinion on your idea. And you may not even implement the idea. And I've signed an NDA to where I can't talk about this kind of stuff for the next year or two. No, I'm not signing that. I'm good. And once again, I've done that twice where I said, no, I'm not willing to sign an NDA. And the company said, oh, no, we're cool. That's no problem. We'll take that out. So I think what it becomes just boilerplate for companies to, if we can get you to sign it, go ahead. You know, let's go ahead and do it. That benefits us.
Look and don't read. But at the end of the day, on the flip side of that, the second they need to lay you off, you're gone. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like,
non-compete on that.
What's the non-compete on my layoff? Right. Right.
This is part of this too, because when you sign these non-competes, they can terminate your employment and you still are subject to be under the non-competes up until this new ruling. So I think part of it is that in individual states have gotten rid of non-competes years ago. This is not a new thing for individual states. This is just a new thing federally, you know, for the entire country, that this is no longer going to be a thing. But I think that there's going to be a bunch of court cases just because, you know, companies are saying, oh, this is not good for us potentially. So we need to litigate it and see if we can't slow roll this or keep it up. So I will just say this to people, that if you have signed one, don't just think you can go wild tomorrow after you hear this. These rules do not go into place until the end of the summer.
A lot of the people that signed them won't be grandfathered in under this rule, unfortunately, either. Right. If you already signed it, you kind of just SOL basically. But the idea that there was a stat in the article that said this ban would boost wages by $488 billion over the next 10 years, because it allows people to go out and be competitive and get their worth as workers, as employees. And, you know, again, just going back to the fact that, you know, nobody who's against this can really tell you why it works for employees, because it doesn't work for employees at all. It's very anti-employee, just, you know, right out the gate. And it just sucks, because that's America.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, y'all, I read a story. Actually, I heard a story. And then I went and I read a story over the weekend. And I got to say, this bruh is just ticking me off of what he did. So long story short, we've got a Baltimore area gym teacher who former athletic director for a high school. And this is what this joker decided to do. It looked like they was doing an investigation about some misappropriation of funds on him. And he decided that, okay, I'm about to lose my job, but I'm trying to take the principal down with me for even investigating this stuff. So what this dude did was he used a voice generator. We're not sure which one he used, but he used a voice generator and made a fake recording of his principal that sounds very much like his principal saying all of this racist and anti-Semitic stuff and put it out. And long story short, once it was put out on social media and people found out about it, they actually suspended the principal. But the principal is adamant, that is not me. That is not my voice. I promise you, I did not do it. This is not me. I would never say these kind of things about my students. And so the police, the Baltimore Police Department, yeah, the thing, I wasn't sure if it was the county police in Baltimore or the sheriff, but they actually investigated it. And it turns out that the police believe that this is an AI generated deepfake. And they pointed out some things. For example, there were very, very robotic ways that the sentences were constructed. There were strangely like no breath sounds. You couldn't hear, just a person is just talking in regular conversation. At some point they have to breathe. You didn't hear any of that. So it sounded a little bit strange, but it definitely sounded exactly like the principal. So after the investigation, they traced it back and, you know, traced it back to this gym teacher. And I think he finally admitted it that, yeah, that was me. And now he's got charges up against him. So it's like, you thought you was going to get in trouble for the misappropriation of funds. Now you out here deep faking the principal trying to get them terminated. This is just not going to go well for this gentleman. But I'm just like, bro, what were you thinking?
He wasn't. It's funny. I did a video about this last week. I just posted it today, though. Couple other things. His digital footprint got him jammed up because he used a school computer, or at least he was on the school's network when he was researching AI tools and how to use them. And then they were able to, you know, to your point, Rob, track his email down as well. There's another teacher that could potentially be involved in this also, because he, and I don't know if it was the person, because there were, he, the misappropriation of funds was that it sounds like he was hooking one of his peoples up and had them coming in as a quote unquote softball coach or something. And they never actually did any softball or coaching. So I don't know if it was that person or whoever, but there's another teacher involved that, went and got a student involved. They found some student that was popular on social media and knew how to sort of manipulate social media, you know, to their benefit, and disseminated this clip. So there's like three people who will potentially be getting jammed up in this whole thing, because of this clown doing this. It's just insane to me that. This definitely tracks.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is how, when we evolve, people evolve and they also adapt. So this brother, now of course he didn't do it right, you know, leaving all the breadcrumbs and searching, you know, how do I get this teacher in trouble at school, right? So minus that, you know, this sounds like what we're prepping for going forward. As far as people getting in trouble, people are always going to get in trouble. People are never going to not get in trouble. This is just the way we're going to start getting in trouble now.
It's so crazy. There's a quote in the article from the guy that was actually helping the police analyze this recording. And he said, this Baltimore area case is not a canary in the coal mine. I think the canary has been dead for quite a while. And he's absolutely right. I mean, this genie is so far out of the bottle at this point.
And what makes it worse, you know, not just the act of putting this all together, but the fact that it don't take us nothing to believe it.
That's what I said. Yeah. That's exactly what I said in my video. I was like, listen, before people actually calm down long enough to say, could this be fake? Because he seems really sincere in his, you know, plea that this ain't me. Could this be fake? Before they did any of that, this guy got suspended. He had to have police protection because they were threatening him and his family. Like, people had pitchforks and torches, you know, on the steps of the school gunning for this principal before they relaxed enough to say, wait a minute. Let's see if this is a real recording, especially knowing that there is artificial intelligence out there now that can do these kind of things. It's just like, before you get all up in arms, you know, it really behooves all of us to do some research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like I said, when I looked at the story and I'm looking at the dude's name is Deshaun. So I was like, oh, crap, it's kinfolk.
Right. You already know.
That's somebody's cousin. You already know. Literally. And I'm just like, so here's the thing for me. And I think y'all probably agree with this. I have no problem when you have someone out there carrying it or someone out there saying racist stuff and talking about, was there free speech to say it? Well, yeah, you said it, but free speech does not come without freedom from consequences. So in the case of a principal, if you out there saying some hellacious stuff and it comes back on you and they suspend you while they investigate it, I generally don't have a problem with that because they need to go look and see, is this what you think about your students? But the fact that this young man decided, because he's only 31, he decided that I'm not just going to go make a deep fake to try to get some, you know, to make some fake dirt up on my principal. I'm going to go to the worst of society and I want to make it seem like he's a racist. So I really do feel bad for this person because I guarantee you that even right now, even though that this person has actually admitted that, yes, I did these things, there are people who still believe that the principal really said it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And they're like, it wasn't fake. It wasn't AI. That's just what they telling you, you know, to try to let him back in the conspiracy theorists. And but the thing is, you know, I don't know what he's. It doesn't say in here what he's actually charged with. It just says he's facing criminal charges. I'm sure probably for some sort of fraud.
Oh, so
but it doesn't say it in here.
So yeah, they're getting him for fraud, for defamation of character, for stalking, for felonious threat. They literally are going to throw the book, everything that they can charge this person with.
And they should.
I was reading another article that I'm not looking at right now, but they're saying that potentially more charges are going to be filed because he actually corrupted a minor in doing this as well.
Right.
Because
they got
the high school student.
So now
the fact that you did that, they're going to every charge that they can think of, they're going to throw it at this, you know, throw it at this bro.
Quite honestly, I wouldn't be mad if they threw an attempted manslaughter charge in there because these days, people are crazy. This man could have lost his life. His family could have been harmed. Like, there could have been physical consequences to people thinking that this man said these things that this person didn't even think of. I probably didn't even extrapolate it that far. All he figured is, if I get this dude fired, I get to keep my job and keep, you know, messing with the money that they giving me. And I'm just trying to keep my stay put on. But you ain't thinking far enough out, just like a child, really. You ain't thinking far enough out to say, what if somebody shows up at his house and throws a Molotov cocktail through
or in reverse, the dude is on edge because he getting death threats, somebody knock on his door, he open the door, pull the trigger,
and just start shooting through the door. You know what I mean?
Like, when I saw that part of the story, I was like, well, so this is not as bad as swatting, because when you swat someone, you are intentionally trying to get the police to respond to your 911 call about a situation that's happening. I don't know that this, I think his name is Deshaun.
It's close to a level of a doxing because
it's close
to
that.
Outcome is the same. You know what I mean?
Like I said, so if they get him with like a reckless endangerment or something like that, I wouldn't be shocked if those charges come as well, because this is horrible. It's like you basically did a deep fake of somebody being of someone being racist. And this is a principal of a fairly large high school in Baltimore County. And you may not have known what was going to happen other than you hoping that he gets fired so that the dirt on you doesn't come out. But this is just horrible.
And that shit was going to come out anyway.
You look at
whether
it. It
whether that principal anyway. Found it or the new principal, somebody that was not a trivial amount of money. So somebody was going to eventually be like, "Yo, mm-hmm. what happened to this money? Like, bro, what are you doing?" It just irks my soul because it's just like, and again, I'll read another quote. What's so particularly poignant here is that this is a Baltimore school principal. This is not Taylor Swift. It's not Joe Biden. It's not Elon Musk. It's just some guy trying to get through his day, he said. It shows you the vulnerability, how anybody can create this stuff and they can weaponize it against anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're at.
And the students are coming out in support of the principal. They're saying it's like he's a great principal. You know, he's helped me out in many situations. So it's just like I don't feel bad at all for people who are actually saying racist stuff. And then it comes back and it affects their paycheck. But when you make that stuff up, particularly when you're saying this dude is saying anti-Semitic stuff in the climate that we're in right now, it's like, bro, that's just foul. It's just foul. Any kind of way you look at it.
You say some people go scorched earth, baby.
And he did. He did. I will say the last thing I said in the video that I made was there is a website out there called AI or Not. AIORNOT. AIORNOT.com where you can upload image or audio clip. And it'll tell you if it was likely to have been AI generated. I mean, it's not 100% foolproof and, you know, the detection tools aren't perfect, unfortunately, but this is what we got right now. So, you know, I would strongly encourage anybody listening right now before you get quick to share and want to, you know, look at Terrence shaking his head like they ain't going to do that shit.
Retweet.
I know. Like, look, stop trying to go viral. You could be ruining somebody's life literally by, you know, sharing misinformation about somebody before you verify it. So AIORNOT.com, at least try to check it out to see if it's legit.
Yeah, I believe that the gym teacher's name is Deshaun Darian. I believe that he is going to become a adjective. It's like, oh, you Deshaun stupid, because we've said this on the show.
But this is just the beginning.
I'm going a completely different direction. Why do people continually sleep where they eat or eat where they sleep? Those two things just don't mix. So you're going to go to the high school computer lab and do the research on the crime you're about to commit?
Well, that's where the fast computer is, man.
Yeah, right.
What are you thinking?
They got 5G up in that joint. Right.
My internet ain't hitting like this. I need to get on the computer.
He did it in the high school. Like, bro, what are you thinking?
Oh, man, all crime is a matter of what they call it. Not circumstance, but
proximity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's all. Most of crime.
Yeah.
Not and near the house.
He let his digital footprint kick him in the butt.
He sure did. So, y'all, we got a little bit of a comeback to story with this next one. Steph, you sent me a WhatsApp message last week about this one, said we got to talk about this. But if y'all remember, we talked about ShotSpotter, I don't know, 3-4 episodes ago about how New York City, Mayor Adams in New York City, that they were going to do a deal with ShotSpotter. But it turns out that in other cities that maybe have decided that we're not going to continue our contracts going on with ShotSpotter, ShotSpotter keeps the microphones turned on and keeps using the data to train their algorithm to get better, even though they don't have a contract to run in these cities any longer. And in some cases, they still are notifying the police of when they think that they got a shot, letting them know. So the police are no longer paying for that. The cities are no longer paying for the services and they're still providing them. What say you, Steph?
Some BS. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'd be very curious about what sort of back end deal they might still have with the police. Cause I'm just like, y'all not doing this shit just out of the goodness of your own heart, wanting crime to, you know, go down or whatever. Like there's definitely something else going on that would, you know, preclude you from, continuing on with this data, I could see definitely using it to train, right, and not say anything, but giving it to the police anyway, even though you click, you know, allegedly are not getting paid anymore, you know, from the city contract. There's definitely something else going on here. And it's just some bullshit.
When I initially read the story, I was like, okay, I understand what's going on. It's like, well, all we got to do is run current to these microphones. They're already installed. They're safe as far as they're not going to fall off of poles or wherever they have the things mounted. And we just don't have to turn them off. We can continue to get our training data. That part I can see why they would do it. But as you said,
but even that is a violation.
I'm not saying that I agree with them doing it. I'm just saying I understand. It's like, hey, it costs us less to get the training data than it does to keep getting it from where we already have these things installed. So I understand why that decision was made. But to your point, Steph, what's happening on the back end? Why are you still, if you don't have a contract with the police department, why are you still providing this data to the police department? And that's where my conspiracy theory mind starts to run around. It's like, oh, so does the police department know that they no longer have a contract? And it's like, we just ain't going to investigate this or investigate it slow as to why these things are still running. I don't know. That's all conjecture. No one has written anything like that, but I'm just wondering, as you say, what is the company getting from the police department?
The contract continuing with the city. I feel like the police department, though, could make some kind of back end deal on their own. And just, I don't know. It's something good, because ain't no such thing as a free lunch. That's what I do know. Mm-hmm. So the idea that they're just giving them this information out of the goodness of their heart, I don't believe that.
Yeah. And it's got to be a lot. It's got to be enough. Not enough, but there's something else, because, you know, it could be, it's simple on ShotSpotter's end just to terminate the feed or the connection or whatever the case may be, and be like, yeah, we really don't feel like going out and picking up the sensors, because we, according to the story, they put 15 to 20 sensors per square mile. They're fixed the light poles, include a microphone, GPS system. And I could see them saying, we got our money's worth. We don't feel like picking up all that equipment.
And but we did all the work. We might as well leave them up there.
Right. But it's a whole nother thing, like you said, to still be sending alerts that the police still depend on. It's one thing for the police to be like, last case scenario, we still got this file. Let's just click open this file right quick. According to the story that the police depend on for investigations and so on. So it's like, even after the contract, like you said, both parties are still sharing information, and there has to be something to it, because it could be easily just terminated, you know. And then, like I said, you can make excuses for why they haven't come pick up the sensors yet, because they didn't got their money's worth. So there has to be something else that they're actually still sharing this information and using it on a regular basis.
Yeah, they could leave I could see them leaving the sensors up, because, you know, this mayor is not going to be in office forever. The next mayor may be more amenable to having this type of surveillance, in the neighborhoods and stuff like that. So you just waiting out the current administration, basically, and hoping that the next folks will be like, yeah, that was actually a good idea. Go ahead and get them that contract back or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to continue to give the info, to continue to, provide the law enforcement with the data is some old nefarious, you know, snidely whiplash type shit.
You just made me think of something, because, Steph, you're right. This is generally based off what the mayor decides that they want. Mm-hmm. And if the mayor is saying that, oh, no, we're going to get rid of this, we're concerned about the false positives, we're also concerned about where are those square miles where you have 15 to 20. Why do the people who live in those square miles tend to be awfully melanated? That is a question as well that maybe a mayor is asking. So they may be saying, you know what? Well, you're right. The contract is terminated. But there's another election coming up in a few months. Maybe that other mayor decides that, oh, we actually want to go back into doing this, and you already have the things deployed. So that I get. But like I said, the fact that they are still giving it to the police, that could be one of those things to where maybe that's fodder for a new candidate running for mayor. It's like, hey, the police are still getting this data. And here's the amount of crime we were able to figure out more quickly based off of where we thought shots were actually happening in directing our officers to locations. You never know. Like I said, I haven't seen any of that written. I'm just kind of speculating right now. But as you say, Terrence, there's got to be some reason why they're doing this, because it cost a spot shotter. It cost them money to continue to run these platforms. Mm-hmm. So if it was just training data, although that's wrong, I get it. But no, you're taking the information and you're giving it to police. There's got to be something else there.
And they should have to verify that they have turned the sensors off. Mm-hmm. Once the contract is up, you should not, for training data or any other purposes, right, you should not still be able to operate these sensors in these neighborhoods. You should have to show that all of these things are turned off and there should be, you know, kind of regular audits to make sure they're still off. Because that's just, again, it's surveillance and it's, you know, without people's knowledge and you, mm-hmm. you just can't do that.
Yeah. So it's all kind of wrong. So I just thought we would hit that story just because it was something that we did talk about before. Another reason why you probably shouldn't be be messing with Josh Bart. I'm still, you know, based off the last time we talked about it, the CEO of the company said, hold up right fast. We don't work like you're expecting it to work. So we just, you know, when the dude that runs the company is telling you that, hey, right, hold up, this may not do what you think it's going to do, that gives me pause. And now that you see that the company's doing all this other stuff, it gives me a lot of pause. So y'all, the last thing we're going to talk about today is one of the things we talked about last week, because the law has now changed. TikTok must divest in the next 270 days from ByteDance or risk being banned, which essentially means that the law states that the app stores must remove TikTok from their platforms and the TikTok's IP addresses in the United States will be blocked.
Yeah. It's going to get signed on Wednesday, by the president. It passed in the Senate 79-18.
Very bipartisan again. I mean, that's 80-20 basically.
Well, you got to be careful with that one for this particular one, because the people who was trying to get it pushed through added it to the foreign aid bill.
Right.
In order to get people to sign off on this piece. If you want to give money to the likes of Ukraine, the likes of Israel, if you want to still support these efforts, then you need to sign this bill stating that TikTok is going to be banned. And the people who really wanted the money for the wars that the American people, you know, for whatever reason, it's the people want to continue to support stuff for, like, let's just use Ukraine, for example. So they were like, all right, well, we can't not sign it. We just got to ban TikTok.
And they do that all the time. They add on stuff, you know, to other stuff all the time.
I just say that to say, yeah, this may not be all that bipartisan. It may just be compromise, which is bipartisan, but it ain't compromise on the sense that, oh, we're all in agreement. TikTok should be banned because it's terrible for kids. I don't think that's the bipartisan part. The bipartisan part is we want to get some money for these countries to support their efforts, their war efforts. Mm. All right. If we don't want to give them that money, but we do want to get TikTok banned. All right. What you going to do? And the sides is like, all right, it is what it is.
I take your point, but I believe that it's probably a little bit more bipartisan than you think, because remember, it passed clean in the House the first time, as overwhelmingly as it did. Now, what happened is that it did get voted down in the Senate. It just didn't get voted on in the Senate.
Right.
Which is probably why the House overwhelmingly voted for it. Right. Because they know it ain't going to go nowhere. So, yeah, I voted for that, but they really ain't going to do that.
So it's one of those things to where I just want to say, this is now about to be the law of the land. You've had some rumblings out of ByteDance where they say that they're going to continue to fight. And we know that's going to happen. They're absolutely going to keep this thing in court as long as they possibly can. But at one point, ByteDance says, we're never going to sell. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. Well, if you're talking about potentially $60 to $100 billion, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's a huge user. I mean, the U.S. is now TikTok's largest user base. But it's interesting though, because the bill now also does include the algorithm. That has been a point of contention as well, that they could sell the U.S. operations, but not actually sell the algorithm that dictates what people see in their feed and controls what shows up in your feed. But it says now the bill would also bar the company from controlling TikTok's secret sauce, the algorithm that feeds users videos based on their interests and has made the platform a trend-setting phenomenon. So, I think that might be the thing that keeps TikTok from selling. Like, I feel like it just, the whole thing kind of falls apart if you have to give all of that away. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they really would do that. And two, it's really not up to TikTok. That's the thing people fail to understand. Not up to ByteDance. You know, this, it's up to the Chinese government, whether or not they're allowed to spin off this piece of the business and sell it to the United States. And
probably the problem anyway. So
I don't see the Chinese government, you know, allowing this sale at any point in time. I don't know any amount of money that would make them be like, okay, well, you know, I'll let y'all get in bed with America. You know what I mean? Like, where are they doing that at? So I think this is the start of the end of TikTok.
I will say this. I never thought, even when this passed the House the first time, that the algorithm would ever be included in it. That's just way too valuable to ByteDance. Mm-hmm. And I never saw that coming. And here's two things. If the government is true to their word on why they are doing this, they wouldn't want the algorithm anyway, because that is ultimately what is still controlled by ByteDance in Beijing. And you just don't know what that thing is doing. You don't have control of it. Now, granted, they would, if they were to, you know, were able to sell it, they would try to go through all the code and this and that and the other and try to figure everything out. But then people are going to be worried about Trojan horses and all that kind of stuff. I never saw the algorithm being sold. I never saw that happen. So never is a long time. Let me say it like this. I didn't think that would ever be done, because that's still the potential for it to have actually happened. And I don't think that would ever happen. So here's one of the issues. Even if, and I think Steve Mnuchin is probably the biggest name thus far who has come out and said, I've got investors and we got, you know, a lot of billions of dollars to throw at ByteDance to try to make this thing happen. I think that even if they were to do that, this needs to be done in 9 months. Right. Are these American companies going to be able, is this organization that would take this over, would they be able to create an algorithm that Americans are going to love as much as they loved the TikTok or the ByteDance algorithm?
No, because Instagram would already have it, and somebody else would already be doing it.
Say that for the people in back so they can hear.
That's the issue. You know, they don't like the fact that a foreign entity is works better than, you know, what we have right here, and this is unfortunate. Really makes me sad, not like dejected, but just sad that this is what competition has come to. Start downloading your stuff off of TikTok.
I will say this because there are quite a few creators who have already come out and said, we're going to be fine. We already started doing the work to make sure that we're not just on TikTok. And this goes back before this passed the House the first time. This goes back to the previous administration when the Trump administration was talking about banning TikTok. And it was like, oh, they sound kind of serious about that. Doesn't look like it happened, but at least we should probably go out and do some things to mitigate the risk in our business by only being on this one social media platform that's controlled by an algorithm intended to make as much money for the company that owns the algorithm as compared to us making as much money as we possibly can. A lot of creators that look like us, we are just terrible. And I don't mean to say this to generalize, but some folks can be so resistant to change. And there's a lot of folks, oh, this ain't going to happen. I ain't going to even worry about it. you need to worry about it. If you have not started trying to figure out where you can exist with your content outside of TikTok, and this is something you should have been doing long before now, because these rumors have been going, they've been floating around for years now. But if this is the first time that you're hearing about this, you got 9 months to figure out how you, you know, build your following, you know, in an email list. And I know a lot, I got some flack on this the other day because I said, there's so many people who are talking about on TikTok right now, please follow me on this other social media platform. I see so few people saying, please subscribe to my email list. And I was very, very quickly told by many, many people on TikTok, it's like, people on TikTok ain't filling email like that. They're just, that is just not a platform
they use.
Let it be WhatsApp, let it be Telegram, let it be, you know, something else, but you have to be doing something, in my opinion, that you can mitigate the risk of TikTok as you know it going away, because come Wednesday, when this bill gets signed, there's going to be court cases and stuff is going to start ticking. But you don't want to run your business based off of what a court may do or may not do. That is just not a good place to be. You want to mitigate your risk. So I am saying to all creators who are out there, you may have been dealt a blow with this, but you definitely want to figure out how you can, you know, create your audience in other places so that if this one thing were to go down, you wouldn't be, you know, SOL, so to speak. And it's just, think of it like this. What if your account just got banned and you can't get it recovered? They say, nope, we don't like what you did, and you're done forever. Act like that is a potentiality to where your account's going to get banned. So you have no choice but to go figure something else out. I implore people to do that, because I've seen a lot of folks just, I don't believe it's going to happen. And you just don't want to run your business on a belief that something is not going to happen, when you just had the Senate and the House of Representatives and soon to be the president that are signing a bill telling you that the thing you don't think is going to happen is going to happen.
It's interesting because this is not new strategy. And I don't know if it's just a matter of, you know, young people not really feeling that strategy or understanding that strategy. Because platforms come and go all the time. You know what I mean? They gain popularity. They fall out of favor. A few of them have kind of sort of stood the test of time. YouTube's not necessarily going anywhere. Instagram, you know, wane, the popularity ebbs and flows, but it kind of, you know, pretty solid. But still, like, the idea that, you know, a creator wouldn't be thinking far enough out, and like I said, so a lot of these creators are super young, right. So I get that they haven't really thought of the business of content creation too hard, because, you know, you're sort of wrapped up in the idea of being an influencer and just being popular. But there are a lot of people who are using these platforms for their livelihoods that I think are missing out as well, because you shouldn't have, if you're a small business, you shouldn't have a TikTok account and not have a website. Like, but there are some small businesses out there that are on TikTok, but ain't got a website. And there's just really no excuse for that in 2024, for you not to have that place that you own where people can find you. So I would just, you know, influencers aside, small businesses, y'all got to get y'all stuff together. Because when this platform goes away, which there is a very good chance it may do, what are you going to do? So ask yourself that and prepare for the worst.
Yeah, it's something that people have to think about. I was going through some articles last week after this came out that were coming out of the UK, where there's a lot of even creators in the UK who are like, whoa, what is America doing? 25% of my money comes from the United States. And you're about to say that this platform that I'm on and doing great on doesn't exist in your country anymore. What happens to my business? Once again, you better plan for that. And as I said, I just, you know, you just said it, Steph. I said it before you said it. I'm going to say it again. You do not want to be in a situation to where you think it's going to go away, other than every piece of evidence that you have in front of you is telling you that it's going to go. Right now, we know these things are true. This is passed in the House. This is passed in the Senate. It is going to President Biden's desk, who has told you repeatedly that he is going to sign it.
He told you on TikTok.
On TikTok. Told you on TikTok. While he's using TikTok. I'm sorry.
TikTok's going away, y'all. Yeah. FYI.
So you know, you better be like me. You better not just have TikTok. You better have, you know, all the social media platforms. So yeah,
but even still in that, man, it's just sometimes just shit happens, right? You can be as prepared as you want to be, and you can be as thoughtful and as you can, but there's still just stuff gonna happen. You ain't never gonna have no control over it. Like this thing we've been talking about, why are they banning TikTok? And I believe that this is just countries being petty because Facebook and Google, China has clamped down on them for the longest. And now this TikTok is the one thing I think America was specifically people strategering in the United States government. It's like, how do we get back at China? They have stopped Facebook from being over there. Anytime somebody we try to do something over there, they clamp down. What can we do to kind of stick it to them? And they looked around, they said, TikTok. So now they've done this campaign and it's about to get them out of the paint, right? And I say that all to say, just sometimes shit happens and you should be prepared, but at the same time, you know, understand that this is part of the game and there's going to be some setbacks. You know, we really don't know the outcome, the blowback, the collateral damage is going to be. So that in and of itself could cause a lot of anxiety in a lot of people to where this person's saying this person's saying that, you know, do what you can. But at the same time, it's like, look, don't feel like it's your fault or, you know, why am I even in social media to start with? You know, all those things. Cause people can have all those thoughts as well. You know, it's like a lot of people take, you know, personal offense to something like their favorite social media platform shutting down. It's like, well, I can't go nowhere else. This is how I built the community on TikTok, you know, and then they just get frustrated with the whole process altogether. So it's like, be prepared, do as much as you can. But at the same time, it's like, yo, just realize that you don't have no control over this. And there's some solace to know that, look, this ain't nothing about doing. The best I can do is roll with the punches.
I had somebody I was in a conversation with say this in Discord, and they said, it's like, I'm still mad that Vine is shut down. I ain't been back since Vine. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know what? That's one where you just didn't know what was going to happen. This, at least you have some information. You know that this is probably going to happen, and you have some time to plan.
And you know, social media sites get shut down because you switched from Vine to Instagram, now to TikTok.
And so now you're doing shorts whatever. So it's just like, you have the information.
Right. Don't freak out.
To the tech, John. We told you to get your early website up. Yeah, I mean, I just feel for small businesses that, you know, have really been able to build a business and a livelihood through TikTok shop and things like that, mechanisms like that, haven't really built up the infrastructure around the rest of their business to sustain themselves off of this social media platform. And it's not going to end well for you.
So I will just leave it with this. We rarely talk about like this level of tech to where we're talking about what processors are available to be sold to China and, you know, other countries and stuff like that. But we have all kind of embargoes and all kind of bans on hardware that can be, you know, sent to other places. And it all comes down to our national security. We don't want to give companies that are controlled by the state of technology that they could turn around and use against us. And this happens all the time in the chip space. And so folks are saying, I just don't believe this is going to happen. It's already happening. We embargo the heck out of stuff going into China based off of national security. And that's kind of how they're doing this. So as I said, we'll end it with this. Y'all just don't be caught out here in 9 months. Oh, what happened? I didn't think they was going to do it. It's like, no, you definitely want to Angela Milo this one. They told you what they going to do, believe them the first time. You know, they have come back to this on several occasions and they're doing what they told you was going to do. Doesn't matter what you think the reasons are why they're doing it. The fact that they're doing it, you want to prepare yourself for it.
Who'd you say that lady's name was?
You switched it. You said Angelo Mayu.
No, Maya Angelou. I'm sorry. I did not mean to do that. I was talking too fast.
Juxtapose. Yeah. But
thank you for catching that, because I don't even know I did it. So, y'all, we didn't have any new patrons this week, but I do want to let folks know that if you would like to support the show, one of the ways to do it is on Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/techjunt. Another way to do it is by buying some merch. So if you want to get yourself a Tech John mug or t-shirt, or it's getting kind of warm, so maybe not the hoodies, you might want to go to the tank tops, because I think they've got some of those over there now, or a mouse pad or whatever you want that has our logo and silhouette on it. Head over to thetechjohn.com/shop. We've got all kind of new stuff over there that just came out. And, you know, actually this year, a bunch of new products. So go check that out. Any little bit that you do there absolutely helps us. And once again, if you want to become a patron and get access to some of our things like our after party or ad free RSS feeds, you can do that as well by heading to patreon.com/thetechjohn. So with that being said, Tech Life Steph, tell folks I didn't get at you.
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph, or check out my website at stephaniehumphrey.com. Mm-hmm.
And you can find me all over the internet at Brother Tech. That's BROTHATECH.
And I am at Rob Dunwood on all the things. And we're also at The Tech John on all the things. The Tech, JAWN. So come holler at us however you holler. Until we meet again in a week's time. Peace.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.